of cool cats cacawing for cranial crumbs and kombucha. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 173, and I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your eminently enjoyable entertainers, eloquently elucidating every enigma, eliminating ennui, even examining egg corns.
I'm Colin.
And I'm Chris. That sounds like a listener-submitted yeah.
You got it. Kyra. Thank you, Kyra. And, Dana's not here. She's moving.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like there was somebody missing. I was like, I could have sworn. Yeah.
Yeah, between you and me.
Once it gets past two people, I lose track.
It's just a blur. And this episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Online destination to create your dream website. With Squarespace, you can get your own website domain name. There's a whole system that you can kind of plug and play. You can change the text, change the color right then and there in front of your eyes so you don't have to go through a developer or a coder. There's a lot of resource help too, and their customer service is 24/7. And so all you have to do is put in the pictures you like, put in the words you like, change up how it looks, and boom, there you go. There's your site. For 10% off new accounts, use the offer code Good Job Brain. All right, you guys, I have a choice for you guys.
Oh.
So we can do Pop Quiz Hot Shot.
Uh-huh.
I'll just say the card is kind of boring.
Uh-huh.
Or we can do a surprise quiz that will be very polarizing.
Well, I mean, I think we should go with the surprise quiz.
I think this is like a leading question. I can tell by the look on your face you want us to go for the surprise quiz.
I'd feel bad for the rest of the day, like if we didn't go with it, and then I would be wondering what it was.
Yeah,
so.
Let's go for the surprise quiz.
One of you guys will be unhappy to have the surprise quiz.
That's fine.
Whoa, does that make it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's do our surprise quiz.
It's sports?
It is sports.
Okay.
Guess where we are.
Guess who's unhappy.
Right now. we're currently sitting here in San Francisco.
Indeed. The heart of Super Bowl City.
Super Bowl City.
Super Bowl City.
Super Bowl Fitty.
At least as Fitty far as City. The marketing would have you be.
Super Bowl L.
Yes. The Super Bowl itself will be down in the city of Santa Clara.
Oh,
yes. However, it is close enough as far
stadium.
As the NFL is concerned.
Yes. They're going to be doing all of the activities up here in downtown San Francisco.
That's true.
Yeah, but the actual ball playing is not here.
So they're the San Francisco 49ers at their home stadium. That's where the Super Bowl is going to be held this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's all high tech and nice and new.
It's the newest stadium. Yeah, the newest football stadium in the league.
They went to WrestleMania there.
Yeah. You can order your food.
You
from
can
the
order
phone.
Your food from your seats. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have curry there. You can get like chicken tikka masala there.
Yeah.
Somebody will bring you chicken tikka masala to your seat.
Yep.
The future.
Yeah.
So you were joking there, but it actually is not Super Bowl L. Not Super Bowl L.
I made the joke.
They abandoned the Roman numerals just for this year.
Because it's not Super Bowl L.
Yeah. So in sports, it has a very specific connotation of loser.
Oh, yes. Right.
So it is Super Bowl 50-50.
Yep.
Next year, they're going back to the Roman numerals.
Okay, that makes sense.
But next year, it'll be Super Bowl Lee, and then Super Bowl Lee, and then Super Bowl Lee. Yeah, Super Bowl Live, and then Super Bowl...
Every year, our nation's children learn at least one Roman numeral, which is whatever that year's Super Bowl is. Yeah.
Okay. Are you guys ready for a
sports quiz?
Yeah. A Super Bowl quiz. And
I guess that's fine.
Granted, we know Colin's going to get all of these.
Oh,
but,
let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
But these are questions that will show up in pub trivia.
All right. Oh,
I see.
It's
a lot of
sure.
superlatives. This is written by my friend James. And
Can we do it where I get to take a stab
at
it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. NFL team with the most consecutive Super Bowl appearances.
The Buffalo Bills.
Oh my God! Yes.
Yeah.
Famously they always went to the Super Bowl
but
and they never won.
They lost four in a row.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was the joke that Bills stands for. Boy, I love losing Super Bowls.
Ouch.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh. That's pretty good.
It's not bad. It's not bad for a thing I heard on the playground.
So this superlative also applies to Buffalo Bills, the NFL team with the most consecutive Super Bowl losses.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Player with the most career Super Bowl touchdowns. I knew this.
The most career Super Bowl touchdowns. a touchdown is the man who catches the ball in the end zone, or is it the quarterback who threw the pass?
Can be both. Depends on what the stat is.
For a touchdown.
Yeah. Is the person a receiver? Is
yes.
That, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think I would know?
Oh, you would know?
Yeah.
A famous receiver?
Yeah.
I don't know. Ray Finkel.
Lisa's out.
I'll guess Jerry Rice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Jerry Rice.
Oh, he has a dog.
Also, he lives here.
Oh, really?
He is probably, maybe behind Joe Montana, the most famous 49er, yeah, ever.
Gotcha.
Or at least, or right with there with Joe Montana.
I went running with him once.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was for a Nike thing. We ran with Jerry Rice. Team with the most Super Bowl wins.
Team with the most Super Bowl wins. Oh, okay. Yeah. You want to take a stab?
Patriots?
Incorrect.
That is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Correct. Uh-huh. 6 games. Team with the most Super Bowl losses. That is not Buffalo Bills.
Oh. Oh, the most total, not most consecutive. The Jets.
Isn't that hockey?
No, the Jets are
Winnipeg Jets.
New York, they're also the New York Jets football team. Yeah.
They're also one of the gangs in
there. Yeah. Yes, the Jets and the Sharks. Yeah. Yes, as well.
That's the story.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Also,
most losses. Jeez. All right. So it's got to be a team that's been getting there. The Vikings? Minnesota Vikings?
Denver Broncos.
Okay.
With 5.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most frequent Super Bowl host venue.
Most frequent Super Bowl host venue. The Apollo Theater.
Well, I mean, some of the...
I like how you're like, I'm not playing
the
game.
The Apollo Theater. I just caught that. I mean, for a long time, they would basically just rotate between, like, San Diego, Miami, New Orleans. Like, they were all, like, warm weather. Phoenix would be in there. I'll guess New Orleans Superdome.
Superdome?
Yeah, I'll guess the Superdome.
It is Louisiana. Yeah. Well, the Mercedes-Benz Louisiana Superdome.
Okay, sorry. The Superdome.
Right.
Yes,
located
correct.
Located Woo! In the great state of Louisiana.
Long before the Superdome.
Okay, last question. Longest Super Bowl in actual time.
Longest Super Bowl.
Guess how long it took.
Including timeouts and commercial
breaks.
Yeah, not
game time, actual
from
time.
Kickoff to final second off the clock.
Beyonce and everything.
Closest to.
Oh, we're guessing the time. Oh, closest to the pin.
I mean, geez, if you're including the halftime and all that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that they only get longer over time.
Right.
especially once the TV, mm-hmm. I don't know.
4 hours and 37 minutes.
I think that's going to be actually pretty dang close.
Are you gonna...
I'll say 4 hours and 38 minutes. I'm going to price this right
good,
you.
Good.
4 hours and 14 minutes.
Ah, I price this right at the wrong direction.
Right. Yep.
Super Bowl, I don't know what number this is, XLVII.
So,
well, the winning move for you is to...
47?
Yes.
Biggest contributor to the extended time, 34-minute power outage in the stadium,
oh,
if you remember.
Course.
That was the big one. That's right, of course.
A couple years ago.
That was the 49ers against the Ravens.
Though, I mean, it's the power outage was half. It was 34 minutes.
Yeah, but so, it interrupted the game.
It was a good puppy bowl that year, too.
Everybody just changed
channels.
A lot
of action, yeah.
All right, well, good job, you guys.
All right, we did better than I thought we would do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some deep cuts in here, but those are some general pub trivia friendly Super Bowl questions that might
especially
show
in the next week or so.
Do we know what the next city is? When do they decide?
We do know what the next city is because they have to start preparing. Off the top of my head, I'm not sure where it is next year.
Super Bowl Lee will be taking place in the NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas.
Yes.
All right. Well, good job, you guys. Last episode, we had a listener challenge. I played it was like a music quiz, but the point of the quiz wasn't to identify all of the artists. There is a secret theme that strung all the songs together. And the songs I played as a recap.
Song. Take me as I come, cause I can't stay long. Last dance with Mary Jane. One more time to kill the pain.
I Really, Really Like You by Carly Rae Jepsen. Last Dance with Mary Jane by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Bad Blood by Taylor Swift. You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon.
Yep.
And then Weapon of Choice by Fatboy Slim.
Now, whenever You Can Call Me Al by Paul Simon comes up and somebody says there's a theme, my mind immediately goes to that the theme would be famous actors appearing in the music video.
You are correct.
Would I have been correct?
That is that is the iconic one threw in.
Indeed. Yeah.
You know, I feel like maybe the younger generation might not know.
That the kids wouldn't know.
Yeah, and also like I think past a certain year cutoff, music videos just aren't as prevalent as it was when we grew up. Like, so that was the answer. You just, there's celebrity cameos in their music videos.
What were the celebrities in each song?
Okay, so You Can Call Me Elf, famously Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
Last Dance Mary Jane is Kim Basinger. I Really, Really Like You is a fantastic video. Tom Hanks, who...
Where he lip-synced it,
right? He lip-synced the whole song. Fatboy Slim, Weapon of Choice, of course, featured the slick dance moves of Christopher Walken. And Bad Blood actually had a lot of cameos. It was a lot of Taylor Swift's actor and model friends. Mm-hmm. But the notable actors are Lena Dunham, Cindy Crawford, Mariska Hargitay, Ellen Pompeo, Zendaya, a bunch. Yes, celebrity cameos is the answer. But what I did not expect was so many people sent me this answer, which I wasn't looking for, but you're correct. It is not only right, it's super right and specific. Evan Benedict first wrote in and said, I'm sure I'm way off. You're not. And also you're the first person. But the songs all have music videos featuring well-known actors who have appeared on Saturday Night Live.
Really?
He's not the only person.
We certainly won't count you out for being too specific, for being more
really
specific than we had in
it
mind.
It just so happens that...
If you're going to be famous enough that someone's going to want you for a cameo in their video, there is a good chance.
So Evan and also Cody Vest, who also wrote in and told me that Saturday Night Live thing. I was like, what? Awesome, awesome job. And those are such jaunty tunes. I hope everybody enjoyed that. And in our last episode, we teased what the topic of this episode was going to be. And I played a clip. It had no dialogue. And it was just sound and score. And I hope some of you guys caught it. It was a scene from The Incredibles. And it was the scene where Mr. Incredible's running down a hallway and he's being shot at with these like sticky lead balls. It would attach. It was like a big ball. It would attach him. It would grow, and it's sticky, and he can't run anymore. He just kind of like gets smothered in these sticky balls. Because this week our topic is
balls.
Is sticky stuff.
Sticky things.
Sticky.
Sticky
things. What is sticky? So stick around. I decided to come up with an entire list of things that are sticky. I just want to run the gamut here.
Yeah.
If it's sticky...
You do have a baby.
I want to know about it. Yeah, exactly. He
knows from sticky.
He generates a lot of things that are sticky in various capacities. But, you know, which brings to mind, of course, the classic joke, what's brown and sticky?
A stick.
Hey.
I really like that joke.
I like that
it's
one.
A good joke. Yeah. It's a good joke. So I have a whole list of things that are sticky. And unfortunately, the words I wrote down they're so sticky that they actually picked up other letters at some point along the way and were thus rolled into, and it became something else entirely.
Mm.
So I'm going to give you the name of something that is sticky, and then I'm going to tell you what letter it picked up. And then you are going to tell me what it turned into. So it's an anagram. It's an anagram. It's a word plus another letter, and then you anagram them.
So,
and I will give you a clue as to what that final word is going to. For example, true example. If I were to say the word tar, T-A-R, quite a sticky substance, and that tar picked up a letter B to give you a spoiled child, you would say
brat.
Indeed. I'm going to have you guys use the pens and paper as to help you out with your anagramming.
Okay. Got it. But we're still,
certainly,
are we still buzzing in when we get...
You have the pencil and paper. Just use it if you need it. Listeners, if you like anagramming and you want to grab a pen and paper, you might want to do that. Or not, if you want a head.
I find them faster in my head sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
For the short words, it's easier for me to do it in my head. Yeah. But it depends. We'll see.
Well, let's see how you guys do. Let's see.
I may change my tune.
We're going to start easy and then it gets trickier. So here we go. Here we go. Our sticky substances picking up extra letters. I went and got some SAP, SAP, plus the letter E gives us a popular side dish.
What?
Colin.
That's peas.
Peas.
Oh.
Peas, indeed. Yes, yes, yes.
I was like, apps?
Apes?
Apps?
Apes?
Not a popular side dish on this planet. I went and got some glue. That glue got stuck to a letter B to become a musical instrument. Colin.
That is a bugle.
A bugle. Glue plus B equals bugle. That same glue, well, lost the B and picked up an N to become a fencing move.
A fencing move.
Glue. Karen.
Lunch.
Lunch.
Yes.
Snaps. All right. I got rid of that glue and got myself some gum. Some delicious G-U-M gum. Very sticky. It got stuck to an A and turned into a place in the United States. Karen.
In the United States, Guam?
Guam, yeah. Indeed.
It's
a territory.
It's a territory, right,
Not the contiguous United States, yes. Indeed. Some gum got stuck to an S, giving us a word meaning self-satisfied. Colin.
Smug.
Smug, indeed. All right, they're going to get a little bit trickier now. Acquiring a letter P, I had some honey, and it picked up that P to become an alternate spelling of a word meaning fake. Whoa, everybody.
Phony.
You're a big phony.
Honey was not what I was looking for at that time, so I went and got myself some tape, some sticky, at least on one side.
I like the story.
T-A-P-E. Yes, yeah. tape plus D gives us a word meaning skilled. Colin.
Adept.
Adept. Oh, rocking these anagrams.
Taped.
Now, here's an interesting one for you. Tape plus S. Gives us another sticky substance. Whoa, Colin.
Paste.
Paste.
Like paste pot Pete.
Paste pot Pete.
Of course. Paste pot Pete.
Whole punch Harry.
Getting very meta on Good Job Brian today. Now, let's add an R to paste to get a word meaning a meal. Colin, again.
Repast.
Repast.
Wow, I don't even know that word.
It means a meal.
Any meal or like a specific nighttime or just
it's kind of just a fancier. It's like you might find that like in a like Game of Thrones, for instance.
Got
it's
it.
Kind of just a little more highfalutin.
Indeed. All right. All right. All right, Colin, you're so good. How about you add an E to paste to get an obsolete unit of currency?
to get obsolete unit of currency.
It was once used in Spain.
Oh, wow. I don't know.
The estop?
Oh, the estop. No, not at all.
The tapates?
The tapates.
Oh, the espada?
It is, in fact, the peseta.
Peseta.
The peseta. Oh. Yes, yes, indeed. You know what? Let's stick with foreign currency since that's going so well.
I like how we just guessed. We're like, it sounds Spanish.
Estapo. Cement is also something that is sticky, and we can add an I to that to get an old French coin. An old pre-Euro French coin. Colin.
That is the centime.
The centime.
Centime.
Indeed.
Oh.
And finally, I have
centime.
Nope. The centime. I have one final sticky item for you, and that is, of course, syrup.
Oh.
Wow. If we took some syrup and drizzled it all over a sea, we would get a Mediterranean country. Karen.
What's geography, though?
Yeah.
Cyprus.
Cyprus. Very, very good.
Cyprus.
All right. Good job, you guys.
Which is a country by itself. Nah.
A country.
Yeah.
I Wikipedia'd it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because people confuse it with, like, oh, it's a part of Turkey.
It's a
country by itself.
Right.
The Cypriots get very angry.
That's the gizzard they were thinking of. They're confusing the gizzard and the Cyprus.
Oh, now I get it. Man, being a dad has changed you.
He just slips the dad jokes
really
in so quickly, though.
It really has to, if you think about it.
All right. Well, we had a game, word puzzle game from Chris, and I actually have a quiz segment about various sticky things.
Yes.
A lot of things that I like that are sticky. Well, no, you okay. Like, because yeah. Sticky makes me think of like
food?
Dessert.
Yeah, okay.
And then it makes me think of like adhesives, which yeah. I use for, you know, for crafty
adhesives
stuff.
Adhesives are great.
They are.
I was gonna.
Where would we be?
I was going to, and I didn't really find enough, unfortunately. But as a child, I really liked Funtac for some reason.
What is
Funtac? Is the stuff? It's the moldable sort of adhesive that you use to put up posters.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh.
I discovered this in kindergarten, and like there was like some on the wall, and I was just like, this is the most fascinating thing to me because it's like gum, but it's not gum. But you're putting posters up, and I got into it in a very nerdy way of like I wanted to buy like all of the different kinds because there were all different kinds, there were all different colors.
Yeah.
I like the fact that it was both sort of like Play-Doh but also useful.
Yeah, okay.
There was Funtac, there was Handytac, and then there was Blu-Tac, and it turns out that the original is Blu-Tac.
Oh, and then things just
like,
spun off.
Like everything, it was invented by accident.
Well, what were they trying to make?
I don't know. Something better than that.
Some sort of rubber or something,
yeah,
maybe.
Right. It's like, oh, it's too sticky, but it's perfect for putting up my Metallica posters or whatever.
Yeah.
You guys all have your barnyard buzzers.
Yeah, well, and I should say, yeah, in case anyone at home is confused, I am using Dana's buzzer today. My buzzer has gone missing.
I think your cat took
this
it.
This is what happens, Dana, when you don't show up.
Chaos.
Your buzzer.
We left the barn door open, and one of the barnyard buzzers rolled away. Yeah, my paw is going to be mad.
But how?
I thought I closed the door. So for today only, hopefully, I am using the cow buzzer.
Buzzer is rolling down the plains.
We got a call from three farms over. Looks like we got one of your buzzers.
That'd be funny.
Is this one Yorn? Yep, that's my buzzer, all right. I know it by the sound.
Farms of just buzzers, like buzzers on the grass.
Right, everywhere.
In the
pen. Oh, these are free-range buzzers.
Okay, you guys have your barnyard buzzers ready. All right. This sticky bready treat, one of my favorite, strangely features an animal in its name, but is actually named after a weird tree.
A sticky, okay.
Chris.
He's buying time here.
Yeah, I was pretending.
All right, sticky bready treat,
which is an animal. You know, I was going to say the Welsh rarebit, but I don't think
that's actually sweet.
Also, I don't think that that's like your favorite anything.
Churro?
Well, it's cheese and bread.
I mean,
right. Has an animal in its name, but it's
animal in its name. Yeah, I don't know.
But the actual
what does Karen like?
Yeah,
it's a bread.
It's a bread.
And what's an
and
animal as
sticky?
Well as a tree?
Yeah,
something like pig or bird.
Dog tree.
Snake. Sticky snakes.
Pig, sticky snake. Pig dog pudding.
Snake churros.
Oh, I like snake churros.
Yeah, oh, we should have met those.
I think we're going to feel really dumb.
Monkey bread.
Oh.
Monkey or the full name monkey puzzle bread or monkey pull apart bread.
Okay, so what do you mean it's named after a tree?
It's not named after a monkey.
What?
Well, because what's it to do with anything with a monkey?
Well, I just assumed it was like, I mean, I didn't think there was monkey in it, just to be clear.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought the illusion was like, it's crazy bread. It's monkey bread.
Right.
It's like, it's funny. You rip off pieces. I don't know.
Right.
So monkey bread, for those you know who are not familiar, it is basically a bunch of little rolls, like little bread rolls, and baked in syrup, like syrupy, brown sugary, cinnamony stuff. So it's this one big loaf, and then you pull apart.
Yeah.
So because they're all individual little rolls that you can just like share. It's a great party dish, and it's like a cinnamon bun, but in a different
format. It's like a communal cinnamon bun.
Yeah. And so the origin of the monkey puzzle bread is named after the monkey puzzle tree.
Really?
Huh.
Yes. This is in the 1800s in England, where, you know, having gardens and having greenhouses was kind of like a prize, right? Because you're trying to collect all the different, you know, glorious trees and plants. And
before you could collect comic books, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was one, Sir William Molesworth.
Of course there was.
proud owner he had one of these trees, and its Latin name is super long. And so he was showing it to his friend because the tree itself is kind of – it looks kind of crazy too. It's kind of like a palmy tree with a lot of rungs radiating out from the trunk.
Okay.
And so one of his friends said, man, this is like a puzzle for a monkey to climb that tree. And it just became colloquially the monkey puzzle tree because no one's calling it by its Latin name.
Okay.
It's just a nice popular name. The idea of a monkey trying to figure out bread was named after the tree because it kind of looks like it's all like little bits and pieces radiating out. So the story goes.
Wow, okay.
Huh. So the story goes.
So it has to do with the monkey like eventually.
Yeah, the idea.
Second order. It's a second order monkey.
It wasn't someone saw a monkey, you know, eating a piece of bread. Be like, let's call it that. Right. Yeah. Second derivative of monkey. Oh, yes.
The rate of change. The SDM.
Yeah. All right, next question. Harry Wesley Coover Jr. was awarded recently in 2010 the National Medal of Technology and Innovation by President Barack Obama for his invention. This invention once had the name of Eastman 910. What is this? What did Harry Wesley Coover Jr. invent?
Something sticky. Wait, I'm sorry. Sticky.
It's sticky. It's called Eastman 910.
It was invented for...
super glue?
It is super glue. Okay. Technically, cyanocrylate. Sorry, can you
what
say
is
it again?
The cyanocrylate.
Cyanocrylate?
Yeah, I believe that's
cyanocrylate.
Cyanocrylate.
Was discovered in 1942. Harry Wesley Coover Jr. was developing a type of plastic for war efforts, for gun sites. And he discovered this. He's like, it's too sticky. It's useless.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're all like, it's too useless, whatever.
Right, right.
And then it wasn't until in the 50s, like after the war, they went back to it. And at this point, he was working for Eastman Kodak. And then so he... you know, kind of revisit, and we're like, oh, we can use this for bonding and as glue. And it first originally had the name of Eastman 910.
Got it. Used a lot of super glue in hobby projects as a kid.
Man, you know what?
And just as important is the super glue remover.
I really like the smell.
Oh, yeah, it's a very sweet kind of smell.
That's anything that you're not supposed to inhale always smells really good.
Like chlorine. Like, it just smells so clean to me. Next question. Despite the branding, this particular sticky stuff does not contain any animal or animal parts. Chris.
Monkey glue.
No.
Gorilla glue.
Oh, you know what? That's not what I was going for, but,
okay.
But
well,
that
okay,
doesn't
well,
have
okay,
gorilla.
Okay, wait. Well, let's
either.
Try something else. So all it's right. A sticky substance branded.
Despite the branding.
Despite the branding. This is for gluing stuff together, or?
This is for gluing stuff together. And there's a popular belief that this item has does contain
Branding meaning like Elmer's glue because it has the picture of the cow on it.
Yes.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Elmer's glue.
It's not made out of cows.
Not anymore.
Right.
It never was. It was made of casein, which is a dairy byproduct, but it
never had any.
Yeah, it never. It's not like the cow hooves were shaven, or there's no actual cow in it, because that kind of stuff. It's not technically all only for.
Oh.
So why is there a cow on the label?
This is the mascot.
The mascot. His name is Elmer, and the funny thing is,
he was the first president of the company. We didn't want to put him on the label, but he's the boss.
Elmer says, "I wouldn't let myself be made into anything but the finest glue."
The same company had success designing for another cow for another company, and they just kept designing cows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Funny.
And people, stick with what works.
They just
Elmer
crank
the
out
bull.
Those cows.
He's a bull.
Oh, he's a bull.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Bull. Say it again.
Bull.
Bull. Bull.
Bull.
These are regional differences.
Yeah,
these are
I guess
regional
so,
differences.
Yeah.
Ferdinand the bull. How do you say it?
I say bull.
Bull. You keep saying bull.
All right.
I hear bull. I hear B-O-O-L.
Like bullion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how am I supposed to say it? Bull?
Well, if you say it like that.
I say it like the bull and bullet.
Yeah.
Bullet. All right. Are we done?
Yeah.
Popular dessert, sticky toffee pudding, is predominantly composed of what fruit? Colin.
Tapioca? Is that what you're going for?
That's not a fruit.
Sticky toffee pudding is predominantly composed of what? Fruit?
Fruit.
Really? I thought it was made of like caramel and
what do you,
bread.
What are you talking about? Sticky what?
Sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
Well, do you want to explain to Colin what sticky toffee pudding is?
Yeah, it's like a British pudding in the sense of, you know, it's like a steamed pudding and then you pour toffee sauce over it.
Never heard
it's
of it.
It's a really, it's a very popular Eastern.
You got it. Well, fig.
Incorrect.
Dang close. It. I thought it was figgy pudding.
Dates.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Technically, date is a fruit, not just chewy sugar.
Care for a date pudding? How about next Thursday?
Last question, my favorite sticky stuff quiz. Velcro is a portmanteau of two French words.
Yes.
What are the meaning of the words? And or if you can give me the actual French words.
Oh.
Oh. Well,
I did a segment on this many, yeah. many episodes back.
Good thing you remembered your own segment.
Velour and velour. Crochet.
Yes.
Fabric hooks.
Fabric and hooks.
Right.
Yeah, velvet and hook.
Yeah. Not invented by NASA.
Oh, really?
Is that popular belief?
That's it. Yeah, they were like among, they really popularized it, but it was, yeah, they didn't, they get credit for inventing it, but not invented by NASA.
Oh, interesting.
Huh.
Because I think it was invented way before the space program.
It was invented before the space program, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the first Velcro was pretty rudimentary compared to what we have now.
Yeah.
Made out of nylon.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Synthetics and stuff.
And the inventor, I forget his name, but he was...
De Mestral.
He was inspired by seeing his dog had come in from outside with all the little tiny burrs embedded in his fur. Right. And he's like, okay, I'm inspired by nature.
Wow,
I can
really
do this.
It's really hard to pull these things off of my dog.
Yeah,
like, there's something I can work with here.
Yeah. The two surfaces, it's a female and a male.
Oh,
and when
yeah.
they come together, they call it mating. Well, scientifically or technically.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, that's my quiz. Oh, I didn't mention before. So that Incredibles clip that I talked about, that was in our last episode. So I watched that clip. I was like, haha, I wonder if there's a real weapon that does that. And there, I found something that is kind of similar.
Like fires balls of stickiness to slow someone down?
Well, fires something stickiness to slow them down.
Okay, yeah.
Invented and was kind of popularized in the 90s. And it was mostly, you know, the military were trying to find ways to deal with rioters in a non-violent way. And so one of the ways is there is like a gun that you wear and it fires like sticky foam. Like a lot of it, and it just expands, and the person's like stuck and like falls and then sticks to the ground.
It's Paste Pot Pete. You're describing Paste Pot Pete's weapon.
It seemed like I saw some videos of like they're testing it. It works in the fact that it does stop people.
Yeah.
But there are some concerns because it's like, well, if you shoot someone in the face,
right.
it might suffocate them.
Right, right.
And
right.
so then your whole, you know, nonviolent thing just turned lethal.
Right.
So there are some concerns about that. The sticky foam is actually non-toxic. However, in order to take it off from your skin, debonders or whatever, that might be harsh and that might be, you know,
right, right.
All right, let's take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Hello, I am the Boogeyman. Terrifying people around the world as a monster is a nice, stable profession for me. But not many people know that I am also an artist. Mostly oil pastels mixed with my salivic acid, but I did experiment with sculpture during my time at Sarah Lawrence. Splitting my time up between my passion and my job of frightening children from under their beds at night is not easy. Therefore, I'm always looking for life hacks and services that help make life efficient. In order to share my art with the world, I used Squarespace to build my portfolio, pre-made and ready-to-go slideshows that are as slick as my slime-covered talons. Make your own website today for a free trial and 10% off new accounts. Head over to www.squarespace.com and use the code GOODJOBBRAIN and you too can pursue your passion.
And we're back. You're listening to Good Job Brain. And this week, we're talking about things that are sticky.
Sticky. Sticky situations. So when we're prepping for each week's episode, you know, we'll send each other little notes about, hey, I'm doing this topic, you know, so we don't kind of overlap accidentally or talk about the same thing. And so I sent to you guys two words for my topic. I said, I'm doing molasses disaster. All right. Yeah. So now I, you know, hopefully you guys have just been imagining, what could he be talking about, molasses
disaster?
Well,
I had a maple syrup disaster once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we talked about the Canadian maple syrup heist.
That's true. That's true. So, I mean, I'm not going to dress this up more than it needs to. I have a tale of disaster and molasses. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean like a tanker truck of molasses was driving down the road and overturned and made a highway sticky and ruined people's afternoon. I am talking about a true disaster that produced a wave of molasses 160 feet wide and 15 feet high.
Oh my God.
Wiping that out is, that everything still, in its path.
That is still slowly making its way.
The setting,
everything, huh?
The setting is 1919 in Boston, Massachusetts.
This is not good because they don't have the sophisticated molasses defense technology.
Yeah, the anti-molasses.
Today,
the
MDF. Established.
Right. In 1919 in Boston, Massachusetts, specifically the Commercial Street Wharf area, waterfront neighborhood, in addition to being home to many Italian immigrants and Irish families at the time, it was also home to an absolutely gigantic above ground tank of molasses.
How big?
This tank, Karen, was 5 stories tall.
What?
Oh my God. Who needs that much molasses? What?
This tank was 90 feet in diameter. Nine stories in diameter.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So it's like 5 stories high and 9 stories on its side.
Yep. This tank held 2.3 million gallons of molasses, weighing more than 25 million pounds. Now, who needs that much molasses all in one place? This tank was owned and operated by Purity Distilling, which was a subsidiary of the United States Industrial Alcohol Company. Mm-hmm. Now, why alcohol company? This molasses was intended to be distilled into grain alcohol.
So, of course you needed that much molasses because people drank a lot.
It's funny that you say that, Chris. So of course, let's just get this out of the way. I mean, molasses, obviously, a popular sweetener.
Right.
But in addition to making things sweet, you can also ferment molasses to produce ethanol, which has a lot of uses. In fact, during World War I, Purity Distilling Company and the USIA, they made a lot of ethanol from molasses for munitions. And
what?
Weaponry, anything that, you know, torpedoes,
okay.
You know, I mean, it's just ethanol. It's clean burning, very volatile. With the war over, and with prohibition sort of looming, you know.
Oh, indeed.
Any company that had anything to do with alcohol was basically trying to just
get rid of it.
Just make it as quickly as they can.
Right.
Make as much money as they can before prohibition comes down, you know, whatever. There might be a grace period, but just get it and get it made, get your money.
Yeah.
So Purity Distilling and the USIA was just on the ball, making as much molasses into ethanol to turn into grain alcohol before it was outlawed, potentially. Speed over everything, size over everything, as much molasses as they can get. Shortly after noon on January 15th, 1919, the tank burst. You know, I mean, this is not like you spill a jar of molasses on your kitchen table. You know, you don't have time to get out of the way. I mean, we think of molasses as slow. This wave was moving at 35 miles an hour.
Oh my God.
Yeah. All right.
So, the pressure.
Yeah. 160 feet wide, 15 feet tall wave of molasses.
Doesn't Usain Bolt run that in his sprint?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This was just a horrifying spectacle. I mean, people died. Let me be clear.
Whoa.
I mean, 21 people died in this accident. Horses were killed. The entire neighborhood was just wiped out. Buildings were pushed off their foundations.
Oh my God.
It knocked over electrical poles.
Yeah.
It was just sending things everywhere. And I mean, it was just a gruesome, gruesome way to die. You know, I mean, not unlike the sticky stuff you were talking about. Yeah, I mean, you're swallowed in molasses. It covers your mouth, your nose.
You can't see.
Horrible, horrible, horrible. I have a quote here from the Boston Post, all right, at the time. talking about...
Are you going to read it in a Boston accent?
I will not read it in a Boston accent and embarrass both me and our resident New Englander, Chris. They're talking about the scene at the hospital with the victims, right? Quote, "The whole hospital reeked of molasses. It was on the floors, on the walls. The nurses were covered with it, even in their hair." So this was everywhere, all right? And so as people are going into the scene and coming back out, they're slowly transferring molasses to just everything they come in contact
with. Right.
All right. So now, deaths and the injuries and the damage aside, cleaning this thing up is a colossal pain in the butt. Right.
You can't just hose it down with water.
So they swept as much as they could off into the harbor.
Yeah.
Wow.
They pumped it out of people's basements. Oh, I mean, just imagine, like, as bad as a flood is, this is worse, because it's a flood of sticky, sticky molasses. Mm-hmm. So they did their best to get the liquid-ish molasses out. But as it started to harden, people were using chisels, hammers.
Because it's like crystallized.
Ice picks, saws, like whatever they could bring to bear to get the hardened molasses out of the city. So as I mentioned, you know, the cops and the nurses and everybody were sort of helping spread the spread of molasses inadvertently across the city. Human nature being what it is, there were, of course, gawkers, people coming in just to see the tragedy. It's oh, my God, we're going to go up and see the molasses explosion. When all was said and done, over $100 million in damage adjusted for inflation in today's money. Yeah.
Well, that's not that bad.
I guess, right. More than 100 lawsuits filed against the USIA, you know, for seemingly obvious negligence.
Yeah.
The USIA, they tried to float. Their story was, this tank is sabotaged by Italian anarchists.
By wreckers.
You know, this was just a horrible, horrible terrorist act.
Right. I'm looking at Vermont with their maple syrup business and thinking,
conspiracy theory.
So the evidence,
to break apart the union.
As they were getting ready to take this to trial, right, and believe me, the city authorities in Boston were keenly interested in seeing somebody brought to justice
for this.
Right.
Yeah.
It turns out the tank was basically completely, completely under spec for what they needed.
Okay.
The steel on the walls was way too thin. It wasn't riveted properly. There weren't enough rivets. Mm. Worst of all, it turns out the tank had never even been tested once, even with water. They literally
just built it.
As I mentioned at the top, you know, speed and money was of the essence. They're all, we need this tank built as quickly as possible to hold as much molasses as possible ASAP. It turns out from day one, this thing was leaking. It was leaking so badly and so obviously that it kind of became the unofficial source of molasses for the neighborhood.
Oh, sure.
People would come up and just bring containers up to the side and just catch molasses coming off the side.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's streaking out through the seams. You know, neighborhood children bringing sticks up and making their own little molasses lollipops out of it.
Yeah,
it was,
why not?
Everyone in the neighborhood knew that this thing was leaky, leaky, leaky.
Yep.
The judge was basically, you know, I'm going to come down hard on you. The company agreed to a huge out of court settlement with the city, with the businesses, with the families of the victims, millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Wow, and that's 1919.
That's a lot of money.
Oh well, no, sorry, it's equivalent.
Tens and tens of cents.
It was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in 1919, which is millions of dollars today.
Right.
So I'm getting a lot of these details and even one amazing photo of the scene that maybe we can find a way to post it on the website. Or I wish I could share this with you listeners. I mean, just a shot of the neighborhood. It's just, you know, it just looks like a brown bomb went off and just is just horrible, horrible.
As a new dad, I know a lot about that.
Getting a lot of these details from an article written by Chuck Lyons, writing for History Today. And so he wrapped up his version of the story with an anecdote, saying that local residents in the neighborhood insist that a faint smell lingers to this day. They say that on warm summer days, the air is still tinged with the sweet, cloying scent of molasses.
Oh, phantom smell.
Phantom smell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I find, like, you know, tsunamis are intimidating enough, but that's just when it's water.
35 miles per hour.
35 miles an hour, 15-foot-tall wave of molasses coming at you. Here's the photo.
I don't even know what I'm looking at.
It looks like wartime. It does. Yeah. It looks like a harbor during wartime.
Yeah. Holy cow.
The tank apparently was located pretty near one of the elevated trains, and they say it nearly knocked a train off the tracks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How did I never hear about this?
My first two thoughts when I heard the story was, how have I never heard this before? And I need to share this with Good Job Brain listeners.
And to end the show, of course, with a topic like stickiness, there's no way I wasn't going to talk about sticky animals, because I have some very satisfying and very gross sticky animal facts. Some interesting...
They have sticky animals now?
Well, animals that use stickiness.
Oh, okay.
Right. Either for defense
okay.
or for fun.
You thought like the way they were breeding like glow-in-the-dark pigs. They were breeding like sticky puppies.
Like a sticky dog. Yeah.
Why would you need a sticky dog?
Let marketing worry about that, Karen.
Yeah. Stick him to another sticky dog.
Yeah.
Now you have two dogs.
Yeah.
I have three... weird animal facts that I have to share with you guys. First one is of a bird, and we've mentioned a lot of birds recently. Weird jerk birds. Birds have jerk behavior, and this is a kind of a jerk bird too.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a fulmar. A fulmar is kind of looks like a seagull, but not a seagull. It is an oceanic bird.
Fulmar?
Yes.
Okay. Fulmar.
Fulmar. It does sound like pasta.
Fulmar.
Yeah. This bird, when they mate, they make a permanent pair. And then when they have a baby, it's one egg, which is a big gamble for birds or animals that lay eggs to lay one.
You don't want to put all your egg in one basket.
Yeah, well, when you have one basket. So of course, I mean, it makes sense that this one egg being by the ocean and there's like predators – when it hatches, this one little helpless bird, what can it do to prevent predators from eating it? So this weird, cute, and fluffy little helpless bird has a tactic. So this fulmar chick will vomit its stomach contents, and it's really unique because it's bright orange. What it does is not only does it detract the predators from like, hey, don't mess with me, but what happens is that oil gets on the feathers of the predator birds and it mats the feathers. So A, it has trouble flying. B, it's probably going to be like a sea oceanic bird and it will drown.
Oh,
it will fall and drown because it can't get the stuff off the feathers all matted together.
Shouldn't have messed with Fulmar.
Fulmar.
You just wait and be the second bird.
Yeah. You're just waiting.
Yeah.
You're like,
That bird, how many pukes does this chick have?
Yikes.
I know what you're thinking. Did he vomit up the entire contents of his stomach? Or did he have some left?
It's a gamble. And a second animal I want to share with you is the Malaysian exploding ants.
It sounds like something that Wile E. Coyote orders from the Acme.
It does. Yeah, he would just get a jar of Malaysian exploding ants.
Yep.
These ants, their head is huge. And their defense behavior basically is self-destruction. And this is last resort. This is like last resort. So
this is communal animal behavior.
This is save the hive.
Yes, exactly. It's saving the rest of the army. So when provoked or last resort, its defense mechanism, its head is really giant because it has the mandibles, right?
Uh-huh.
In the mandibles, there are these glands that run through the entire body of the ant. And it's filled with poison. And so, you know, when it's last resort, the worker ant will basically contract its muscles rupture the gland, which will explode. It's kamikaze. It's like, it's suicide.
Right.
And it will explode this sticky spray from the gland and also the rest of the corpse or whatever onto the predator. And the glue, the gland has corrosive properties. It might irritate a couple of animals. It might entangle some of the animals because it's sticky. But also, I mean, if it's depending on what kind of animal, it's also like, yo, back off.
Yeah, this is not worth the reward.
This is not worth it. We all explode. So, you know, explode.
Yeah.
All my friends
explode.
Back there.
Yeah, you're not going to be calling 12,000 bluffs.
It's kind of bittersweet.
I will take one for the team.
Exactly. Man, it's kind of formidable. And finally, I want to talk about the parrotfish, which is the nature's derpiest looking fish. Oh. You guys know what a parrotfish looks like, right?
No. Parrot, they do look derpy.
They're really derpy.
Yeah.
And
their
lips and their eyeballs are kind of very well defined. Got it. So they just sort of look like...
So parrotfish, they have this problem where there's a type of family of crustacean, very, very small, whose larvae feed on the blood of parrotfish. So during the day... and you might hear this, like, nature's symbiotic relationship. A parrotfish will seek out cleaner fish, and the cleaner fish will, like, clean out. And that's what they're doing. They're eating these little crustaceans. But that's only during the day. At night, they're pretty vulnerable to this crustacean that feed on their blood. This is so crazy. The parrotfish has developed a mechanism where it secretes a mucus around itself into a sleeping bag.
What?
And it sleeps in its own mucus. It's really cute.
Huh.
The mucus makes a membrane and so that these crustaceans can't get to them during the night. It can't poke through.
This is awesome.
And this only happens at night because they have to rest. And during the day...
So they blow a booger bubble.
It is a booger bubble.
And they sleep in it for protection.
And the funny thing is, you think... I mean, if they do this every night, you're like, man, that must be really tiring. It only consumes like 2% of their daily energy to blow the booger bubble.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
It's like the Batmobile with the shield.
Yeah.
I'm going to try this tonight. I'm going to let you guys know how well this works.
keep you from your natural predators.
I'll send you guys a report.
Oh, man. This is better than I had even imagined.
It's clear, too, so you can see it. It's coming out from his mouth.
It looks like it activated like a little force field.
Yep.
It does. Shields up. A force field.
Yeah, shields up.
It's amazing.
He's like, can't get me in here. So if you're like a parrotfish, the nightmare scenario is you encase your little mucus booger bubble sleeping bag, and then you realize there's one already in there. Yeah.
It's inside the bubble. But more won't come, so during the day, then get the cleaner fish to clean it out. So there you go. I highly recommend people to go look for a picture. It's actually very adorable.
Wow. So how does it get out in the morning? Is it just kind of bust through the side, or does it like...
Does it eat it? I don't know. Or maybe it disintegrates after
a while. It's like time lapse.
Yeah.
Or he eats it.
I think it eats.
He has to pick his nose and eat it.
All right. And that is our show. Off the rails.
Visual image.
Off the rails. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. You can find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on Spotify, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Squarespace, and hopefully Dana will be available and all done moving. And join us next week, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.